this morning when children got up in countries such as the Netherlands and Belgium and Northern Europe, perhaps in some places in Germany as well, they were very happy because overnight the saint of today, Saint Nicholas of Bari or of Myra, left them all kinds of gifts in their shoes, which they were supposed to have laid out in front of their doors on last night, in the eve. So it is the feast of this great saint, a miraculous saint, a saint who goes against all the expectations of men. Saint Nicholas of Bari, because that is where his body is today, in this Adriatic city of Bari in Italy. St. Nicholas, who was born in Lycia in the eastern parts of the empire, but before Constantine had converted and given freedom to Catholics, it was there in that situation with persecution and suffering that he learned the beginnings of his Catholic faith. Eventually, St. Constantine converted, and freedom was granted to all. But along with one relief of one suffering comes another suffering. Very soon thereafter came the suffering of the next big heresy in the church, the heresy of the priest Arius. Of course, most heresies are started by priests and bishops, never by popes. And so that should tell you something as well. So, he was one of the 319 bishops who participated in the Council of Nicaea, the first ecumenical council at which Arius and his heresy were condemned. But going back, among the many things, St. Nicholas had learned discipline from the anchorites in the east. Yesterday we had the feast of one of the first great known anchorites, St. Sabas. And of course, even to this day, they are highly honored in the church. By discipline and sacrifice and penance and much prayer, continuous prayer. And so he was prepared by God in this way. Later on, he was taken to the city of Myra, and it had been revealed to the people of Myra that the first man that should arrive at the cathedral in Myra, their bishop had died in the meantime, the first man to arrive at a cathedral was to be the one that was to be chosen to be the next bishop. And so, St. Nicholas, being wont to pray almost continuously, he arrived before anybody else, before the doors were opened, and then everybody realized that this was the one whom God had designated by visions to be the bishop of Myra. And so he was consecrated. And as such, he participated in the Council of Nicaea. He performed many, many miracles. Once he was on a boat with sailors, and it was about to go under, and he prayed, and the storm stopped. And he had predicted to the sailors, who just laughed at him, but he did not laugh. But they did not laugh when they almost drowned. And yet, they thanked him profusely when he saved them from drowning. And as such, he is a patron saint of sailors and those who sail the seas. Then he went back home, where he performed many, many miracles of charity, one of the ones for which he is most famous, which leads to the gifts of the morning of St. Nicholas Day, is that he found out, he was very charitable to the poor, and he found out that this man, who had three daughters, had no money for her dowry. In those days, if a girl did not have a proper dowry, she could not marry. And so St. Nicholas went by night and dropped the money of the dowry through the window into their house. And that's where the mythology of St. Nicholas coming down the chimney, which he did not do, takes place. Of course, the heathens have turned and twisted it all over the place, including saying that there's a Mrs. Claus. He was a Catholic bishop. He could not marry. Even in the East, bishops cannot marry. That's why most bishops have been monks, because monks are the ones who take the vows of celibacy and chastity. In the meantime, the Council of Nicaea happened, and Arius came on the floor, and St. Nicholas stood up and went straight to Arius, and he slapped him as hard as he could, almost knocking him off his feet. And he is very, very well known for this, that he was very straight and narrow when it came to the faith. He would not put up with heresy, with falsehood, with the doctrines of the devil, who were trying to deny that Jesus Christ is God. Also, on the journey to Nicaea, of course, he had a humongous party with him, so they basically booked a whole inn, a hotel, and they were preparing for dinner, and St. Nicholas asked the owner, the cook. In those days, the owner did everything, just like some women do everything in the home. Most women's husbands are worthless. But anyway, so they do everything in the home. And he asked, can I go down with you to the cellar to pick the meat that we're going to eat? So he did. And then he noticed there was this big vat of some liquid or other. And immediately he knew. And he blessed the vat. And out of the vat came forth three young boys whom the owner of the restaurant was going to feed to the guests. He was going to cook them up and feed them. And so he saved these children. So as a result, St. Nicholas is in a very, very special way the patron saint of children. And there are many, many, many miracles. When he died, his body was buried in Myra, but because the Muslims were coming and taking everything over, Italian sailors came and took him to Italy, to the southern city of Bari, which is like the heel of the boot, and there he is to this day. And from the time that he was taken there, a very wonderful miracle happened, which is still going on. The bones of St. Nicholas, he's not incorrupt, began to bleed this white milky substance, which the Italians call manna. And that is picked up by the priests, who now are Dominicans, and they put it into bottles of holy water, and then they divide it in tiny little bottles to the faithful. And through that, many, many miracles have taken place, including here in this parish. And so we give thanks to God for this great saint, St. Nicholas of Bari. I will read to you from the beautiful sequences, and there are many, related in today's liturgy by Don Prosper de Granger, and it's just a little paragraph that has to do with the great St. Nicholas. Remember, too, O Holy Pontiff, that Church of the East which still loves thee so fervently. When thou wast on this earth, God gave thee power to raise the dead to life. Pray now that the true life, which consists in faith and unity, may return once more and animate that body which schism has robbed of its soul. By thy supplications obtain of God that the sacrifice of the Lamb, who is so soon to visit us, may be again and soon celebrated under the cupolas of St. Sophia. May the sanctuaries of Kiev and Moscow become re-sanctified by the return of the people to unity. May the pride of the Crescent be humbled into submission to the cross, and the schismatic be brought to acknowledge the power of the keys of St. Peter. that thus there may be henceforth neither Scythian nor barbarian, but one fold under one shepherd. What a wonderful way to pray in these days when there is so much war in the East, Russia and Ukraine, and the Muslims and the Jews and everybody else almost. We pray to St. Nicholas for true peace to come upon these peoples and upon the church in these lands, because it is only through Christ that true peace may be established. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.